Grace and peace to you in our God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Each time we receive Holy Communion, we hear these words of grace and promise that are spoken to us along with the bread and wine or juice that we receive. This month, we are doing a four-week series on the sacraments. We have looked at baptism the last 2 weeks, and now we turn our exploration to Holy Communion. We remember that the sacraments are physical, ordinary things, water, bread, wine, or juice, that carry for us God's presence in a real and particular way. In the Lutheran Church, we teach that Holy Communion carries for us the real presence of Jesus. Now, the bread and the wine are not changed in the substance of what they are. They are still bread and wine. But we also don't believe that what we're doing is simply a memorial, just looking back at something that happened before. And for Lutherans, we believe that there is a real presence of Jesus in that blessed bread and wine. The teaching is that Jesus is present in, with, and under the bread and wine. It's a holy mystery. And if you completely understand that, you probably should be teaching in a seminary somewhere, because for most of us, it is simply that understanding that what Jesus promised, that this is my body, that this is my blood, that when you do this, I will be with you, is a real promise that we can count on, and that Jesus is with us in the bread and wine. Holy Communion has its root in the Last Supper. When Jesus gathered with his disciples, with those he loved most, and sat down for the Passover meal. Now, that meal is in all four of the Gospels, and in Matthew, Mark, and John, there is the institution of the Last Supper, when Jesus gives to them the bread and wine and says they are his body and blood. But each of the Gospels tell the story a little bit differently, as is often the case. And so it's interesting to look at how Mark handles this story. Mark is a very tightly woven book. And when it comes to the most important stories, you can often help to understand them by looking at what comes just before and just after. Mark often bookends the key stories in that way. And so let's look at, we have this central story of Jesus giving bread, this is my body, giving wine, this is the blood of the covenant given for you, and just before and after that. So just before, he has sat down with his disciples, they are eating this celebration meal, and then he says to them, one of you will betray me. You can imagine all of them looking at each other, murmuring together, what does he mean? Who could it be? Someone here? And can you imagine Judas sitting there and thinking, how does he know? What is he thinking? Why am I still here? And then after Jesus gives that bread and wine and promise, he tells them, you will all desert me. And again, you can imagine they're murmuring at the table, what does he mean? Why would we desert him? You know that he has predicted his death and resurrection, but even at this late moment, they still do not understand what he has said. And they're saying, oh no, of course we wouldn't. But then it's Peter. Isn't it always Peter who steps up to the front and says, oh Lord, I would never desert you. I will go with you to the very end. And Jesus looks at him, Peter, Peter, before the dawn tomorrow, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. This is the same Jesus who, when asked why he was eating with outcasts and sinners, replied, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Jesus is fully aware that he is eating with beloved sinners, and he is willing to give his life for them, to give himself for those who need it most, both then and now. In the Lutheran Church, when we give communion, we say, "This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you." Now, not all churches use those words. When I was in the Episcopal Church, I served communion saying, "The bread of heaven, the cup of salvation." Or often I've been served with simply the words, "The body of Christ, the blood of Christ." But in the Lutheran Church, we use those words, "for you." Martin Luther thought that these words were very important for us to hear. As much as Luther believed in the power of scripture and proclamation through preaching, and he did believe that it was the living word of God among us, Luther also knew how hard it is for us to accept and believe in grace. We can hear the words of promise, forgiveness, and grace spoken in the scripture, spoken in the sermon, spoken in the prayers, and yet still think, "Well, they don't know what I'm really like. They don't know what I've done. Surely that doesn't mean me." But when you are given the bread to hold in your hand, when you smell the wine, taste the juice on your tongue, this is for you. It is hard to separate ourselves when we receive the bread and wine in our very bodies. This is the gift, the presence of Jesus, precisely for each one of us who need it the most. Jesus sees us just as we are. Jesus looks at us in our brokenness and belovedness, in our faith and in our fear, and he offers his whole self, his body and blood, his love and mercy, his life, death, and resurrection for our sake. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ are given for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.